dancing on the bar, stomp your feet, start clapping, got a real good feeling, something bad about to happen.
Helmets and Heels on 1010 XL, 92.5 FM. Here's Jessica Blaylock, Donna Murphy, Lauren Brooks, and Blythe Frumleave.
Welcome to Helmets and Heels. We are live at Zeta Brewing Company. It is at the corner of 1st Avenue and 2nd Street in Jacks Beach. I see Jaguars cornerback Aaron Colvin walking up to the restaurant as we speak. Ladies, we are going to visit with him, and I'm excited about that conversation. What a cool story for Aaron Colvin and the way that this year is playing out.
I couldn't agree more. I think I said last week that anyone that will listen, I tell his story to, because I think it's phenomenal, both not just what he's put into coming, being able to come back from that ACL, but also the fact that the coaching staff gave him the opportunity. I mean, that's tremendous to take such a risk. So I can't wait to have him come join us here in a minute.
It's going to be a lot of fun. I think a lot of people expect side of the ball. I mean, it might not show in the stat lines, but if you actually watch the game, it looked, they were competing until the very end.
Yes. It was one of those where I didn't give us really a chance to beat the Ravens, so I certainly wasn't frustrated that we didn't win. I was a little impressed with certain aspects, you know, but at the same time, there was those frustrating things that keep happening, the drops. You know, Mercedes Lewis should never drop that ball. I think the game is entirely different if he doesn't drop that ball. And the fact that there was 8 sacks, and I know it's not all on offensive line, it's spread out, but still, there was those things that you want to see them play without those issues at some point.
Okay, so you think if Mercedes caught that ball, that really the entire game would have changed as far as how it all ended up playing out?
I think this team, as Gus Bradley has said, plays a lot with momentum. It's a young team, and he's right about that. They're fresh out of college, and college has a lot of momentum involved. So when it comes to something like that that is so early in the game, I think it shapes the tone of it.
Okay.
I'm not saying Jaguars win, but I'm saying it would have felt a little differently to me.
Yeah, no, and I think that's a valid point that you're making. I mean, Gus has continually talked about being a team of momentum and capitalizing on momentum. I just don't know if it would have come down to that one play just because the Jaguars have struggled so much to score touchdowns. I mean, we saw it again this past game, all the points coming from Josh Scobie. They've got to be more effective in completing drives with touchdowns, not just field goals. Field goals, I don't think, even though the defense is playing well, field goals are usually not going to win you the game in the NFL. You've got to be able to score touchdowns. And Blythe, that's something, once again, we did not see the Jaguars offense do this past Sunday.
I feel like for years, we've been that kind of an offense where we only get field goals instead of touchdowns. And not just this regime, but the past regimes. It feels like it's been for so long that it's been this way.
An ineffective offense, yeah. And that's the thing is, there are certain plays in games that if we just could see if that happens, what does that drive lead to a touchdown? Does that then, we score early, does that then change the feel of it? You know, versus the, here we go again, we're about to get down again.
That was my mentality the whole game, to be honest. It was, when are we, this is nice and all, a lead is nice, but it's not going to last forever. And I think that mentality it doesn't start with the fan base, but I think it's been with that fan base for a while.
All right, a little bit of a struggle for the offense, but the defense really playing well. And one guy that's helping the cause is Jaguars cornerback Aaron Colvin. Aaron, thanks so much for joining us.
I appreciate you guys for having me.
First off, let's go back to the very beginning. I know you and I talked a couple weeks ago about this, the Senior Bowl, kind of where everything happened as far as the injury, as far as the Jaguars being able to coach you, and you developing a relationship with Gus Bradley. What was that Senior Bowl like leading up to the injury?
The Senior Bowl was a great experience. Although I did have the injury, which was tough for me at the time, it taught me a lot. You know, I went against a lot of good talent, and also, you know, just this coaching staff in general. I've never really been around a coaching staff like that brought so much energy and just so much passion towards just meetings. And, you know, it was a new experience, but I definitely felt a genuine appreciation for those guys.
What does that injury feel like?
It's tough.
I'm dealing with a dislocated finger, and it's been troubling enough. I can't even imagine tearing and shredding my knee.
Yeah, it's tough, man. I mean, honestly, growing up, that was the one injury that I never wanted to happen. I mean, that's pretty much every athlete's worst nightmare. So when it happened, you know, it was tough the first couple of weeks, you know, because you can't do anything. You can just only lay there in the bed. So the rehab is pretty monogamous. You can't do much, but just every day you got to do the same thing. And sometimes you don't see any gains. So that's probably just the toughest part is just, you know, staying at it.
What about your mental toughness and mental awareness after an injury like that? What does it take to get your mind to the point where you're not afraid to play or you're not afraid to get hurt?
I actually really didn't struggle with that. You know, after talking to some of the guys from Oklahoma that went through that process, they just said, you know, if you put your body through the rehab that you do, when you get out there, it's not nearly as bad. So at the first couple of days, I would say I was just kind of feeling it out, just making sure that I didn't do anything, you know, to essentially hurt it. But, you know, after the first week, I would say I was ready to go. I felt like I'd go out there and play. And, you know, coaches felt like that as well. We just took it slow and patient. And so when my time was ready, I didn't have any difficulties.
We're joined by Jaguars cornerback Aaron Colvin. Aaron, I'm curious because Gus Bradley obviously has such an infectious personality. And I think the opportunity for him to coach the Senior Bowl, for as much as he loves certain players, example, you ended up drafting you, I think players really gravitate towards him. How much did getting to work with Gus at the Senior Bowl make you want to be a Jaguar?
Man, I can't even put it into words. I mean, honestly, the way he acts is very infectious towards us. And it makes you want to do the same thing he does because he's such a genuine person. You don't really come across too many people like that. So, you know, the way that he's so genuine towards us is almost inspiring because it makes you not only want to do it towards your teammates and, you know, these coaches that we're playing for, but also other people just in life general. And that's just, you know, the kind of relationship that he has with us.
And when a team is 2-12, it is hard to keep the morale up in the locker room. But Gus seems unfazed. Does he communicate that to you guys on a daily basis?
I mean, he definitely lets us know that we're not in it for moral victories. So we're not okay with losing at all. And we're going to get it turned around, and I know we will. But at the same time, he's just so positive. Like, there's never anything negative. And if there is, then we know it's something that we definitely did wrong. But still, I just – you never see Coach Gus get on to you about the negative things that you're doing. It's always – you can always strive to be better no matter if we won. Like, when we won against the Giants, there was never any gloating or just – we did so great. You can always strive towards victory, like he says.
Don't you have that kind of in your head for a few days after that we believe in victory?
Yeah, you definitely do.
I would. Yeah. I know I would.
Coming off of your performance over the past few games, how does and knowing that the team has struggled this entire season, how do you prep moving forward to try to build off those small gains that you've had?
You definitely just, like I said, you have to just strive towards something greater. And for me and for a lot of my other teammates, there's this victory. And until we're winning on a consistent basis and we're playing at a high level on a consistent basis, then we can never be satisfied, including me. I just never feel satisfied with anything. I never have, and I pray that I never will.
We're getting to spend some time here with Jaguars cornerback Aaron Colvin. This is Helmets and Heels, and it is live at Zeta Brewing Company, so come out and join us.
And get your tank tops.
Yes.
From Kitchen and Flooring Concepts. I hear there's only one small left, so,
ooh, so come out
better
and
hurry.
Grab it. Aaron, you know, we talked about this a few weeks ago, your transition into the NFL and how it seems to have been so seamless, even though you spent so much of the season on the sidelines. What has been the most difficult thing about trying to transition in as a rookie after missing so many games?
I would really just say just being detailed with everything. And that's probably the main thing because, you know, in the NFL, it's really a game of inches. In college, you can get away with stuff and still win ball games. And even as a player, you could not be on your best performance and, you know, sometimes still dominate somebody. So here, everybody can play. And if you're not on your P's and Q's every single snap, every single game, then it could essentially hurt your team. And that's probably just the biggest thing for me. And also adjusting. You got to be able to adjust in the NFL. I mean, you can get moved a position from one day to the next. So I would say those two things.
When you said being detailed, do you ever really get any downtime during the season? Because aren't you constantly watching tape and then reviewing it with your coaches and lying awake at night going, I wish I had done that better?
Yeah, you definitely are. I mean, I kind of was like that in college, and now that I got in the NFL, it's even worse. And you know, you just always have to be, you always have to be on your toes, really, because the NFL doesn't sleep, and I mean, guys are constantly on film. I mean, from coaches to players, and I mean, some of the best players in the league are always on film. So you got to do the same thing just to keep up.
What are you looking forward to most in the off season?
Just to be able to relax. I haven't been able to relax since I don't know when, since before college. So, you know, since this draft process, it's just been a continuous grind, especially with me rehabbing, trying to get my knee right, trying to come in to Jacksonville and be ready. So I haven't had a time just to actually just sit down and just reflect. So,
take a vacation or something.
Something. I need something, yeah.
Jaguars rookie cornerback Aaron Colvin, our guest on Helmets and Heels, brought to you by Underwood Jewelers, live at Zeta Brewing Company, and also sponsored tonight by...
By Kitchen and Flooring Concepts.
I mean, we're
come
just
out and get your tank top.
All over the place tonight. Aaron, one thing I've always been curious about, because I've heard guys like Jonathan Cyprian and Dwayne Gratz talk about this. You look at that secondary, and after the injury to a guy like Will Blackman, and after the injury to a guy like Alan Ball, there's a lot of youth on that secondary, a lot of players that are either rookies or in their second year that are starting. Does it make it easier to kind of transition together with fellow players that are in their first or second year, or do you almost need those key veterans to help you make that transition?
To be honest with you, I can talk out of both sides of my mouth in this situation. Like, I mean, it honestly has its pros and its cons. You know, with us coming in together and playing together as a unit, with us being so young, it allows us to grow together. So essentially, I feel like it'll make us stronger in the long haul. But, you know, sometimes you need that veteran leadership just to tell you, you know, from what's right, from what's wrong. And sometimes those veterans like Alan Ball and Will Blackman, they've been in a lot of situations that we haven't been in before. So just to be able to talk to those guys and be able to, for them to just relay some of the things that they went through to us is, it can be very helpful. But, I mean, it has its pros and its cons.
Well, and people, you know, always talk about rookies. The speed of the game changes so much. Then you've got the different play calling. You know, you're under a new defensive coordinator. What, though, would you say is the easiest part about going from college to the NFL?
I would say those two things you just named, honestly. I didn't really have a hard time with the speed of the game when I started playing. I feel like
I think that's been obvious.
I feel like when you're prepared, the game comes easy. So I try to get as prepared as I could, and you know, when I was hurt, I tried to get as prepared as I could as well. So when you can just transfer the things that you've learned in the film room and from what coach has been telling you onto the field, then it makes the game easy. So the playbook is the same way. I feel like if you just prepare and you study as hard as you can, I mean, some things you're going to struggle with. You know, you're not going to get a full NFL playbook in 1 year. But as long as you go hard and you keep preparing and just trying to get better every day, it'll definitely ease it up for you.
Did your playbook here, or are we kind of stealing some time away from you?
No. I can't get in the playbook right here.
I know. Props to you, because this is a different kind of week for you guys, obviously, playing on Thursday night. Just to let you know, not only has Aaron been gracious enough to come out here tonight, but he's already put in a full day's work of meetings and practice and meeting with the media and
that's
watching
the worst
film.
Part, right? The meeting with the media.
We are tough. We are very tough here in Jacksonville. What can I say? Want to ask real quick about this. Take us back to that fumble recovery that you returned for the touchdown. Just everything from that moment, what it meant to you to be able to make that play, what it meant as far as the support that you got from your teammates and the coaching staff.
It was truly an amazing feeling. From me making the tackle to me recovering the fumble, from me scoring a touchdown, from me dancing. So it was a great moment. Just all in all, after the game, when I sat back and watched the play, it kind of just, you know, showed me that all my hard work paid off. And, you know, it just let me know that I could play in the NFL. Regardless of my knee or not, it just kind of woke me up and said, you can do this. So, it was truly amazing. I can't really put it into words, honestly. But, and then also the support from my teammates, from Coach Gus slapping my helmet, from all the players that's sitting there with me, Will Blackman picking me up. So, it was great just to have the support from them.
Don't think you're getting out of here tonight without doing that dance.
I'll give it to you.
Love it. All right. Well, this is Helmets and Heels brought to you by Underwood Jewelers. We are live at Zeta Brewing Company. We are also sponsored tonight by
Kitchen and Flooring Concepts.
So come by
on Phillips Highway.
Come by, have a drink, get your tank top, come and meet Aaron Colvin. We're going to keep him around for a few more minutes because, Aaron, we want to get to know a little bit more about you off the field, what makes you tick. That's coming up next on Helmets and Heels, brought to you by Underwood Jewelers on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Jaguars football, by women, for women. And men, Helmets and Heels on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
All right, let's see if I can fit in a few shout-outs first. First off, a shout-out to Zeta Brewing Company for hosting us. We are live at Zeta in Jacks Beach. It is at the corner of 1st Avenue and 2nd Street. Also want to give a shout-out to
Kitchen and Flooring Concepts. And Keith is over here and his wife Betsy, who made the tank tops. And I think I've said the word tank tops already 10 times tonight because I'm so excited about the tank top.
They are pretty sweet tank tops. Also want to give a shout out to Underwood Jewelers, who is a sponsor of our show, and want to give a big shout out to Aaron Colvin for joining us after putting in a full day of work. All right, Aaron, I want to know, what is the toughest thing about being a professional football player? I would think it would be having to get into that cold tub because that sounds awful.
Yeah, that cold tub was pretty rough. I'm not a big cold tub guy, so I just ice up. Wherever I'm hurting, I just ice up. But for me, I would just say time management, especially coming from college when your day is just scheduled out, you know, from coaches or from the academic services. But now you got so much free time, you just got to be able to manage your time.
What do you miss about college? Obviously, you went to Oklahoma. Man. You had Bob Stoops as your head coach. But what do you miss about college, the lifestyle, besides time?
I had a lot of great friends, and I was at home. So I don't want to say parties because I don't want
to
say that.
Because you never went to
you missed
yeah,
studying.
I didn't go to
you missed study hall,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah, gosh.
I missed the academic center.
Absolutely.
I was thinking with it.
Sure.
Speaking of free time around Jacksonville, have you gotten a chance to go to any local places? Do you have a favorite spot that you like to hit up regularly?
I haven't had a chance to do too much just because of the season, but I've been to the beach a couple times. I've ate at Pure a couple times with my family. And other than that, I mean, I like Metro Diner. There's a sandwich shop house on beach that I go to almost every day. So that's pretty about it.
Will you stay here in the off season, or will you go back home?
I'll probably be back and forth, just from where I'll be training at to here, just to just keep my face around and, you know, talk to some of the coaches and stuff.
Have they named a sandwich after you yet?
Nah, I need.
Oh, come on!
Yeah, I don't know what the name would be of it though. I gotta pick a name.
The Colvin. What would be on it?
Everything. I need some ham, buffalo chicken. I'm gonna put every meat on there.
How about the preparer? That's what we'll call the sandwich. The preparer.
Oh, no?
Yeah, that's not catchy.
All right, we'll come up with something good. We'll come up with something good. We're joined by Jaguars cornerback Aaron Colvin. Now, you mentioned, you know, being close to home. Is that why you chose to go to Oklahoma? What was it about being a Boomer Sooner?
That was definitely a factor, just because it's only about 2 hours from my house. But at the same time, you know, when I went up there for the camp, I just felt like they were real. I didn't want to go anywhere that it felt like they were just feeding me a bunch of crap. You know, I wanted to go in there. I knew I was going to have to compete wherever I went. So pretty much every school that told me I was just going to come in and start, I kind of just ruled them out. I wanted them to tell me that they was gonna work me. And then, you know, the tradition, Oklahoma won a lot of football games. They put a lot of people in the NFL. So that was just the deciding factor.
And a great home team. I mean, they play really well at their home stadium. I'm sure that had to be an amazing experience playing in front of that crowd.
Oh, yeah. There's no other feeling like that. Other than probably playing Texas at the Red River Rivalry, playing at home was just, man, it was bar none.
Do you think you want to coach after all is said and done, which is going to be, I know, 15 years at least of good playing time before that? But what do you think about after?
Man, I thought about it. I really can't see myself getting too far from football, honestly, but I just see so much, like, the time that the coaches put in. And that's a lot of time, especially being away from your family and your kids and stuff. So it'll probably be something I consider. But at the same time, I might want to just be more of like a personal trainer, a specialist kind of in like the defensive back area.
I've literally seen the couch, by the way, that Gus crashes on when he's pulling all-nighters at the stadium, prepping for games and so forth. I mean, boy, you have got to be committed as a coach, I bet.
Tough life.
I bet.
What about the six-pack Colvin? For the sandwich.
Hey, that
still grinding on that.
Eight-pack Colvin.
Eight-pack Colvin. I fell too short. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Speaking of outside of football, what do you follow any other sports besides football?
I'm a big basketball fan.
And who's your team?
See, I'm not really a fan of teams, but I like players. I like LeBron James, John Wall. LeBron James, I'm not a Kobe fan, by the way. I don't like Kobe Bryant.
Someone's trying to get a reaction.
He is not like Kobe Bryant. He is making it clear.
Well, but I actually became a big fan of track and soccer as recently because my sister does it. So I like to support her, and then I just kind of caught on. I kind of like it now. So.
You know, we're going to have a soccer team here.
For real?
Uh-huh.
Really?
Jacksonville Armada. The Armada FC.
They're going to play at Bregan Field where the Suns play.
Real? Mm-hmm. Oh, that's cool.
We'll have to get
so Aaron Colvin's going to be a staple at the soccer games.
Hey,
I think that's what we're hearing. Oh, I'm sure they will take care of you. We are joined by Jaguars rookie cornerback Aaron Colvin. This is Helmets and Heels brought to you by Underwood Jewelers. Live at Zeta Brewing Company, also sponsored tonight
by Kitchen and Flooring
Kitchen
Concepts.
And Flooring Concepts. Lauren asked you if you would be interested in coaching. You said maybe if you weren't playing football, what would you be doing with your life right now?
To be honest with you, I really like fashion.
Really?
So, yeah, like, I don't want to sound weak about this, but I would probably would have went to, like, fashion school or got involved with that. I've always kind of been a big fan of it. My mom always says that I'm going to do that when I'm done playing football, but it probably would have been something with that.
Can you confirm if these boots go with this dress?
Yeah, I was going to say, every time I walk every time I walk into the Jaguars locker room now, I'm going to come over and be like, Aaron, thumbs up, thumbs down today.
You.
How did I do?
I got you.
Just don't ask him in front of people, just to be on the
side. Yeah, I'll be like, Aaron, you and me. Is it okay? Does it look okay?
Do you have any go-to fashion brands that you support?
Nah, I kind of like everything. I'm not really a big name brand guy. I will wear it if it looks good, but I just really wear whatever looks good.
Polo. You at least like polo.
Polo, yeah. I can wear polo.
Yeah.
For people who can't see you, you're wearing a polo hat.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about
that. For Aaron, who forgot what hat he put on, you're wearing a polo hat.
I am a self-proclaimed music snob. I love talking about music. So I'm always curious to ask players, who's your favorite artist or what's your favorite band?
Favorite artist? I would probably say Drake right now, just because I feel like he's versatile. I'm not always just a heavy hip-hop or just a heavy R&B guy. I like both of them, so... I would say he offers both of them, so I'll probably listen to him the most.
Like Motown? You like the old school stuff?
Yeah,
like Al Green and Otis?
Yeah, I can listen to that, too. That's on my mom. My mom's always on that old school, so I kind of grew up on that.
That's awesome. I love Otis Redding is a top five for me.
Okay.
Oh,
that's a good choice, though.
Love that man.
Love him, too. Speaking of Drake and one of his cohorts, Johnny Manziel. We're going to talk about him in a little bit. But what are your thoughts about Johnny Football?
That's my boy. So... I feel like Johnny's a baller. I played against him my junior year at the bowl game, and he absolutely killed us. So I know Johnny has a lot of pressure, man. It's hard for any person with that much pressure, you know, just to perform on a week in and week out. So especially as a rookie, when he's trying to come in, he's trying to learn the scheme, trying to learn the playbook and stuff like that. Johnny will get it, though. I know he will. He's a great, phenomenal player, so I'm sure he'll get it.
How's his fashion sense?
I haven't really judged him. You got some pictures.
Speaking of Manziel, did you think that the Browns made the right call with going with Manziel over Hoyer, the way Hoyer was playing?
I haven't really been keeping up with him. I know when we watched film before we played him, Hoyer was doing pretty good, but I heard he was having a slump. So I think it was just to, you know, spice it up, try to get some life in that offense. And you know, it was only Johnny's first game. I know it wasn't how everybody thought it would be, but I think he'll pick it up.
I think it's the last 15 years that the Browns, Hoyer is the most winning quarterback for the Browns. In the past 15 years, they've screwed up that many first-round quarterbacks.
Wow.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Sometimes maybe you do need to shake it up. Didn't go quite the way they had planned this past Sunday. Joined by Jaguars rookie cornerback Aaron Colvin. We're getting to know him a little bit better off the field. All right, you said as far as NBA, you have not teams that you like, but certain players. You mentioned LeBron and John Wall, which, by the way, I think the Wizards have one of the best backcourts in the league. It is ridiculous. But I'm curious, for you personally, were there certain defensive backs that you kind of tried to model your game after? There, what players within your sport have really impressed you and left an impression?
I would, of course, like any cornerback, always a Deion Sanders fan, just because really his confidence and, you know,
right,
the swagger that he brought to the game. And as a cornerback, you have to have that. You have to have a short memory. You have to feel like you're the best, or you'll get attacked. But really, growing up, my mom never let me have a favorite player. She always says, I want you to be better than everybody that you look up to. So
wow,
that was always my
mindset. That's good advice.
Hey, but I mean, honestly, it's helped me in so many ways. At the time when I was younger, I used to kind of be upset, like, why are you telling me this? But as I grew up, I definitely seen where she was coming from. You always got to feel like you're the best. You can definitely have humility, definitely be humble with it, but at the same time, you have to have that confidence. And that's all she was trying to instill in me, so that's what I grew up on, actually.
You always hear Gus talk about, when it comes to challenging you guys, he doesn't challenge you to compete against each other. He always challenges you to compete against yourself. It sounds like that's pretty much spot on with your mentality that you had coming in.
Exactly. And my mom and my father both did that at an early age, and I always appreciate them for that. And, you know, Coach Gus talks to us all the time about, you know, what kind of competitor are you? Are you a competitor that tries to please the outside viewers? Are you a competitor that tries to please yourself? Or are you a competitor that tries to please yourself and raise up others around you? So I think growing up with my mom telling me that, I think that's definitely helped me in that situation.
It sounds like you have a really good relationship with your mom. Does
yeah.
she still live in Oklahoma?
Yeah, she's still there.
Is she listening right now? Can we give her a shout-out?
I don't know. I hope so. Hey, mama, what's up there? Yeah, her and my mom and my dad, I mean that's my world right there. So.
Yeah.
Hopefully I can give it to them one day.
Did they get to come to all of your games in college and high school?
Yeah, they did. And that was a big thing with me staying at home. I wanted them to be able to come check me out. You know, my brother and sister, they're pretty big in sports as well. So I wanted them to be able to do both.
Are your brother and sister older or younger?
Younger.
Okay. Did you fight with them growing up?
Yeah, my brother. My sister, that's, I feel like my sister's like my daughter, though. I'd do anything for her. But
aww,
my brother, that's tough love. That's my boy right there. That's my best friend. Both of them, really. So, I got a great family.
You said you come from an athletic family. Who's the best overall athlete in your family?
Definitely my little sister.
Really?
I mean, at her age, she's only 9, but...
Wow.
No wonder she's like your daughter. She's
yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you know, they always call her my twin, but last year was actually her first year running track, and she went to the national USAs and actually everything, the 400, the 100, and the 200. She's on like a national soccer team, so
wow,
she's the real deal. Like, things come really easy to her, and I know people talk about their siblings like they're just the best in the world, but she really is. Like, she's really an incredible athlete.
Maybe we need to get some stuff autographed by her.
Yeah, by her. You want mine? You want hers?
She's already that good. That's amazing. She's gonna be faster than you.
Yeah, she's unbelievable. I wish I could remember her times, but she was posting up times that were actually, I think, could have been with like 14 or 15 year olds. So.
Oh, that is incredible. Unbelievable. Just
what about your family? Have they been able to come out to the games at all?
They actually drove about 11 hours to the Colts game. So that was
they came
out there for my first NFL game and got them sideline passes and everything. So they were very thankful.
Any chance they're going to come out to Everbank?
I hope so. I mean, that's the plan. So
kind of only a couple more days for them to do that, I guess.
Yeah, I actually sent them
start
out here.
Start driving
one day
now.
Yeah, hey, they can drive if they want to. That's all
them. Well, Aaron, we really appreciate it. Again, I know a long day for you, and you still came out here and joined us, and it was great getting to know you a little bit better. And we are just so happy to see that you've been able to come back this season after everything you've dealt with, especially the ACL tear, and just to be able to do what you've done. It's been awesome to watch.
I really appreciate you guys for having me.
All right,
appreciate
thanks so much.
Thank
that
you,
is,
Aaron.
Thank you.
Stick around for some pictures with us.
Yeah, and stick around for some food and some drinks. This place is awesome. That
you.
Is Jaguars cornerback Aaron Colvin joining us on Helmets and Heels, brought to you by Underwood Jewelers. Again, a reminder, we are live at Zeta Brewing Company. We will be here till 9 o'clock tonight. And come by and get your tank tops.
Get your tank tops.
Because they are...
by Kitchen and Foreign Concept.
They are running out. When we do return, let's get into our thoughts on Johnny Manziel and his debut as the starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns.
So sad that Donna's not here.
She would love to weigh in. That is all coming up next on Helmets and Heels, brought to you by Underwood Jewelers.
Girls just want to talk football. More Helmets and Heels now on 1010 XL, 92.5 FM.
Please allow me to quote Aaron Colvin in evaluating my outfit. Quote, that is swag. So I'm not trying to say that I'm one of the best dressed at 1010 XL, but at the exact same time, that is what I'm trying to say, is that I am one of the best dressed at 1010 XL. It has been determined by Aaron Colvin.
Sounds like something to add to your resume.
I think that the fact that you kind of said it to him like this, what do you think about my outfit? It's really coordinated, right? Don't you love it? I think that I might have prompted him.
I might have led him, but I did not throw out the word swag.
No, you didn't.
You just shook your head up and down.
I just totally agreed when it was thrown to me.
But I think that's a word you should adopt into your everyday life.
Well, I probably will from here on out. Going to put it on job applications if need be in the future. Going to put it on my Facebook profile,
yep.
Twitter, dating websites, whatever else I can add it to.
Whatever.
Just kidding.
Do.
I'm not on any dating websites. Let me just throw that out there.
I feel like
there.
We've gotten off track.
We have. You know what? Let's get back to swag or lack of it. Johnny Manziel this past Sunday. Boy, ladies, I will be the first to say that I was way off in my assessment. I mean, I've never thought that Johnny Manziel was going to be a good NFL quarterback. But what I did think is that he would have success in his first couple of games as a starter. I just thought it was going to be tough for defenses to really account for him because they didn't have a lot of game film on him. I thought that his demeanor and attitude and kind of, I am better, I should be starting, was going to get him a little bit, because we talked about last week, you've almost got to have that mindset in the NFL where you do think that you are better and you do think that you should be starting, you do think you should be playing. Boy, what a disaster for the Cleveland Browns.
I think Aaron Colvin nailed it. You have to be the most prepared. I don't necessarily think that you have to sit there and go, I'm going to be better than anyone else on the field, but I think you have to feel like you are the most prepared. If there's one thing Johnny Manziel lacks, it's the dedication to prepare. And that's where I think,
really,
I didn't expect him to be that good.
See, I don't know if that's true or not, though. I might disagree with you a little on that, because I think for all of the antics, there's no way he could have been as good at Texas A&M if he wasn't preparing for every game. There's no way Texas A&M could have knocked off Alabama if he wasn't ready for Alabama's defense. I just don't think that you could have the level of success that Johnny Manziel has had up to this point without being 100% dedicated to the game, even though the off-the-field antics are there.
Well, he's late to meetings, and then there's the fact that in college, you can get away with scrambling, and it works. In the NFL, you can't. And Jeff Loggman made a great point today, and he nailed it far more concisely than I could. You take a guy who doesn't really know what he's going to do next, right? It's all just, there's no game plan. I'm throwing the game plan out the window. Well, you have 10 other guys that are trying to react to that. It's impossible for them to all be on the same page when he's going completely off the script.
I think for Johnny Manziel, some of those throws that he made, he's throwing off the back foot, he's throwing across his body. Those throws work in college. They don't work in the NFL. And I think he just had a coming to the NFL moment where he got a reality check, and in his preparation and every aspect of his life has to be devoted to football now, and he can't let these off-the-field antics distract him any longer. And then I think it was also a little bit of a case of they were playing against a better team. Top to bottom, Cincinnati was a better team than the Browns, and I think Hoyer would have struggled just as much, probably not more than Manziel, but I think Hoyer would have struggled against him.
Well, I want to go back to a point that you made about being able to get away with that stuff in college. There was some interest in Johnny Manziel there from the Jaguars' perspective. I mean, they thought that he was a, quote, intriguing player because of his mobility. And we know that Jed Fish wants to run an offense in which his quarterback is mobile and can run. And we've seen Blake Bortles do that this season. But You know, I think there were a lot of question marks about Johnny Manziel, but he was intriguing to this coaching staff. But I remember specifically talking to Jed Fish and asking him, you know, what are the differences in calling plays on the college level versus calling plays on the professional level? And I'll never forget, he said, you know, in college you can really exploit mismatches. You can really exploit defensive mismatches, where in the NFL, everybody's good. I mean, we just heard Aaron Colvin say it. Everybody is good on this level. You can't get away with that. You can't hide stuff. You can't really exploit defenses the same way you could on the college level because there's such a disparity in talent. So that's why I've always thought to myself, when talking about Johnny Manziel, what he was able to do at Texas A&M and how he was able to exploit defensive mismatches, he's not going to be able to get away with on this level. And I think that's one of the biggest reasons his game is not going to be able to translate.
Yeah, not in Cleveland, anyways.
I thought he was terrible.
So,
yeah.
I just think that Cleveland in general is a poorly run franchise. They don't necessarily develop any players. They haven't developed any of their top quarterback picks over the last, you know, 10 or 15 years or so. And I just think it was a bad decision overall with the way that they played it from Hoyer to Manziel and the back and forth. And, oh, we're going to play two quarterbacks at one time. And it doesn't work in the NFL.
You mean a dual quarterback system doesn't work in the NFL? What?
No, I don't.
It barely works in college, for crying out loud.
But in college, you're playing against, you know, maybe a handful of NFL starters. And
right.
There's not a guarantee. In the NFL, you're playing every single person is a quality starter versus college, where you maybe have a handful of guys that can start.
Well, and it certainly doesn't help his case either that defenses are gunning for him. Who doesn't want to knock out Johnny Manziel?
Honestly, it's a money symbol right in front of his face.
Who doesn't want to knock him out? I mean, you tell me that.
And he kind of deserves it, to be honest. With as much stuff as he talks, he brings it upon himself.
Yeah.
And all of his antics off the field, he brings the repercussions on himself.
You know, another reason that I thought Manziel might actually play well, and this was a good point. Brent Martineau made this a couple weeks ago when we were talking about the potential of Johnny Manziel taking over for Hoyer. He definitely seemed like a rookie that needed to sit for an extended period of time. And I mean, we're even finding out now that maybe it would have benefited Blake to sit a little bit longer behind Chad Henne, even though Henne was really struggling and the change needed to be made. But, you know, you kind of need that time to adjust, and you kind of need that time to get in the playbook, and you kind of need that time to watch game film and adjust to the speed of the game. And I really thought, you know, once Martineau mentioned it, he's a guy that would really benefit from sitting. That's another reason I thought he might play well Sunday, because he had the benefit of sitting for these first, 13 weeks of the season before heading into this past Sunday.
I think it might have been different if he was sitting behind a veteran quarterback that had proven himself, you know, a Tom Brady, a Peyton Manning.
Like Aaron Rodgers did
Sitting behind Brian Hoyer is not going to help him, because, like, they did the lip reading service a couple weeks ago where he said, I could have hit that.
And that's one of the things, right, that drives me nuts about him. And I feel like,
because guess what, Johnny, you didn't hit that.
Right.
They hit you.
And I would love to hear the conversation between Johnny Manziel and Blake Bortles about, dude, doesn't it hurt a lot more in the NFL than it did in college when we get sacked?
Hey, we just talked to Bortles about that the other day. I mean, about whether his body has taken more of a toll than he thought it would. And, I mean, it's amazing what these guys go through and get right back up and go, because he's just like, yeah, you know, I didn't have any expectations, but it's part of the game. You get hit, you get right back up and go back out there. I mean, it is what it is.
Well, and I started my music theme today with Destiny's Child, Bootylicious, to play off of Blake Bortles wearing the boot. And then
I heard you switch it up to some Led Zeppelin. Well,
I
done.
Did, Trampled on a Foot. I literally, right after I played that song, is when Ryan O'Halloran tweeted that Blake was out of the boot. And I was like, well, you ruined my music theme. Because it was going to be all about him wearing a boot and whether or not he was going to be able to play.
Were you going
to
play These Boots Are Made for Walking?
Of course. Of course.
And I mix a little country in there.
Wearing boots now. But anyway, so I think there's no way that you can get hit 8 times by the likes of Elmas Doomerville and not have horrible soreness and pain the next day. There's no way.
All right, getting back to Manziel. What should the Browns do from here on out?
I mean, you got to play him.
You got to keep playing him, right?
You got to see what you got. with Manziel, and you're probably not going to if they were going to go this route, they probably should have started it earlier in the season. But now that they've already done it, they got to see what they got. Maybe trade Hoyer and get another quarterback in the draft next year. Even though it's not that strong of a draft next year for quarterbacks, I think they still have to take another shot.
You got Marcus Mariota.
Pick somebody else to ruin.
Jameis Winston. But Cleveland's not going to be picking high enough unless they trade up to get a guy like that.
Which, if I'm guaranteed and convinced that a Mariota, a Winston, is the next franchise quarterback,
I trade up.
It obviously, we know how important the quarterback is. It goes without saying.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I play Manziel. A quarterback rating of 1?
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
How do
you say that?
The only way to go is up.
Rock bottom. Nowhere to go but up for Johnny Manziel.
How do you tell your offensive and defensive players, like, we're putting this guy that's a cocky little son of a gun back out there? Instead of someone that has played better. Yes, he's been struggling, but he has played better, and he's a better attitude.
I don't know. I'm with Blythe. I think you just gotta ride it out at this point. There's not really much else you can do. And that division, I mean, Cleveland may have really screwed themselves, which, surprise, surprise, Cleveland screwing something up.
That head coach might have coached himself out of a job.
Yeah, because that division is still pretty much wide open.
Everybody's over 500, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, what, Cincinnati, I think, is 9-6-1, Baltimore's 9-7.
I think the Steelers and Cincinnati lead the division, I believe. And then Baltimore's one game behind them.
Yeah, so it's, I mean, wide open, but oh well, the Browns have possibly sealed their destiny with the decision that they made this past Sunday. All right, when we return, the Jaguars have a Thursday night game coming up, and this team is doing some really awesome things for the fans. We know that they have been rated as one of the top game day experiences around the league. We're going to get into some of those cool things that the Jags are doing on their ultimate tailgate on Thursday. That's all coming up next. This is Helmets and Heels, brought to you by Underwood Jewelers. Again, we are live at Zeta Brewing Company. If you want to come out, we're going to be here till 9. It's at the corner of 1st Avenue and 2nd Street in Jacksonville Beach. And those tank tops from Kitchen and Flooring Concepts are going fast, so you're going to want to come out and get one of those. This is 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
You're listening to Helmets and Heels on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Hey, real quick, I do want to give a huge shout-out to one of the Jaguars' PR stars, Tad Dickman. Can we give him a round of applause? He has helped our show out so much and getting players set up for us and interviews, and he is a rock star. So you enjoy the night, Tad. You go crazy.
Hey,
you do
Aaron,
whatever you
does
want.
Tad have any swag?
Yeah, can we get a thumbs up if Tad's got some swag tonight?
Oh,
that is not a thumbs up, not a thumbs down, kind of halfway there. All right, you might want to work on that, Tad, before the next show. You know who doesn't need any work on their game day experience? That would be the Jacksonville Jaguars. They are ranked as one of the highest around the NFL. Number one in the NFL for the game day experience that they provide to their fans, and they do an awesome job.
Can I claim part of that as being on the Jaguars pregame show?
Sure, absolutely. I've got
letting
no
everyone
problem
know how fun the tailgates are. Do
yeah,
I
no
do
problem
I get to be voted
that
in the, can I consider myself number one? Lauren, the number one tailgate reporter in
Lauren,
the country?
We'd like to give you a shout out for being the sole reason that the Jaguars are ranked number one.
The sole reason
in the game day experience
be
for
part
fans.
Of it.
Let's get a round of applause for Lauren.
Yay,
Brooks.
Lauren!
Well done. No, but it is really cool to think about all the things that the Jags have done for their fans. I mean, not only the stadium upgrades, the pools, the video boards, which are ridiculous.
Still breathtaking.
I mean, it's still, yeah,
the Clevelander being open,
the Clevelander
before games,
yeah,
after games.
Open to the public. You don't need a ticket to go.
Right. It really is amazing.
Women's pools. Did we already mention the swimming pools?
We went in the swimming pools early on this mm-hmm. season. We got to see what they were like, and they were awesome. But yeah,
those
it's
were
just
our summer bikini bodies.
I don't even know then if it was a bikini body. But what I will say is the Jaguars are doing a really cool thing this Thursday night for the game against the Titans. It's pretty much the ultimate tailgate. You know, they wanted to create an experience. Mark Lamping mentioned this the other day. they wanted to create a tailgating experience with it being a later game, people getting off work, trying to get down there. They didn't want people to worry about having to make plans. They wanted to do everything that they possibly could to make sure that the fans were taken care of before that game as far as their tailgating experience. And they're doing a lot of really cool things. I mean, there's a concert play.
There's Mofro is playing. I believe there's another band playing that night, too.
Well, it's J.J. Gray and Mofro. So it's all together. They're local. I believe, actually, I'm supposed to be interviewing J.J. Gray I'll be in the tailgate party Thursday night for all of my interviews. And I believe I'm interviewing J.J. Gray. So.
They did awesome. Something similar to this last year, and it was a really big hit because, like you said, people are getting off of work, and then you don't want to worry about cooking and getting food preparations and drinks and all that stuff. So you walk up there, and there's music playing. You can grab a bite to eat all before the game starts.
And Frank Frangie, one of his highlights for Thursday will be the craft beer.
The craft beer will be flowing, apparently. There will be local food trucks, which is there really anything better, first of all, than being outside tailgating? The answer is no. This is the last opportunity that you have to be outside tailgating.
So sad.
This football season. So not only are we combining things that you already love to do, but now there's going to be music. There's going to be great beer available, great food available, and I cannot wait for the atmosphere. Yes, we're 2-12. I guarantee it is going to be electric in that stadium Thursday night.
Especially because we're playing against a rival that we want to ruin.
I was about to say, this has got to be the game that's been circled on your calendar since day one play.
And it all stems back from last year because it was a couple days before Christmas and the Titans beat us at home and I wanted to ruin their Christmas then. And this year, I'm hoping that we can get revenge.
But Blythe, wouldn't you say that some people would say ruining the Jaguars' Christmas would be not getting the number one draft pick or the number two draft pick?
No, I think we talked about this earlier today just through personal communications.
through email. I think you could say through email.
Personal communication. That covers a lot of grounds. That covers text. I couldn't remember where the platform
that
was. That
is what I'm going to start describing. Is it okay if I personally communicate with you later on?
Email.
That's what I mean.
May I have your personal communication address, please?
Group emails, group text. It's hard to keep up sometimes.
It is. Anyway, please continue.
You threw me all off. Now I'm
we were talking about wanting to ruin the Titans' Christmas and
draft pick.
Which one is better, beating the Titans or
beating
at
the
this
Titans.
Point getting a better draft pick?
Because at the end of the day, you have to breed a winning culture. And the minute you start thinking that it's okay to lose for the sake of a draft pick, that's when you ruin the culture for your entire team. So I'm completely 100% against losing for a better draft pick.
I agree, especially considering that you think about some of the most important pieces. The Jags have drafted those pieces. You've got your quarterback. Maybe you still need to find that elite pass-rushing defensive end. But you've got what you hope is your left tackle, and those are really the three positions that the Jaguars place 1-2-3 emphasis on. Left tackle, quarterback, defensive end.
But wouldn't... To play devil's advocate, I'm not saying I want us to lose, obviously. I want us to beat them 50-0. But let's say that Randy Gregory is the elite pass rushing defensive end. He goes number two, and the third pick overall ends up being Jadeveon Clowney, who gets hurt, and who knows what's going
to
happen.
Well, I was just about to point that out as an example. Ask the Texans how their number one draft pick, Jadeveon Clowney, is doing right now. Oh, wait, he's out for the rest of the season with an injury. I mean... You can say, I guess you can play it either way, but sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. The Jags are going to take whatever best player they feel in their mind, and they're going to do what they have to do to get that best player. I think, number one, they're going to ultimately want to trade out of whatever spot they're in because Dave Caldwell is all about acquiring draft picks and trying... They're trying to build this team mainly through the draft. Yes, a couple of key free agents, and they're going to have plenty of money to spend during the offseason. But still, this team is going to be built through the draft. And I trust that Dave Caldwell, whether the Jaguars finish with 3 wins this season, whether the Jaguars finish with 4 wins this season, or whether the Jaguars finish with 2 wins this season, they're going to get who they want and who they think is the best fit for this team.
I think this is definitely one of those drafts that we trade back and just try to get as many picks as possible and then still try to build the weakness and the depth for the team through the draft and then just pick up a couple guys in free agency.
But again, to play devil's advocate, just because it's fun, the higher your draft pick, the more valuable.
Yeah, and I totally understand that, and I think that is a valid point, but I think it still goes back to what Blythe said about winning a building culture. And once you start to negotiate how many wins you want to try and get a draft pick, players aren't thinking like that. Players are thinking, what if someone at my position is taken,
right,
and I'm dispensable? What if, you know, what if I've been playing my heart out, trying to get a new contract, trying to secure my spot on this team?
Like a Cecil Shorts.
Okay, I play wide receiver. Well, who's not to say that the Jaguars, with that second or third overall pick, are taking a stud, maybe Amari Cooper, and that's going to replace me? I mean, so players are never going to have that mentality of, well, if we don't win this game, it's cool, it might work out, because maybe we can get an Andrew Luck, or maybe we can get this guy. It's just not, it's never going to happen. I think right now, especially with this team being so young, you have to learn how to win. You have to learn how to finish games. Winning, I think, is much more important, because you've got so many of the building blocks in place than trying to work things out to get that certain draft pick.
It's like Vince Lombardi said. He said, winning is not a sometimes thing. It's an everyday thing, an every play thing. And that's what that culture, that's what we need here.
I absolutely want to win that game, and I absolutely don't care what draft pick we get. But there is a completely rational mentality to think, I don't want the Jaguars to win because I don't want to move behind the Texans in the draft order. Because what if there is that special player? And what if we don't trade back, right? I mean, it does. I never criticize people who think that way. Like, I love my team so much that I want them to lose. You know, that's not a bad mentality. That's not a bad fan, in my opinion. That's someone that just believes a different philosophy than the winning culture thing. They believe a winning culture is created by the best possible athlete on the field.
I think I'm fine with approaching the Titans game with a, hey, win-win mentality. If we win the game, awesome. If we lose the game, it doesn't hurt. But I don't like to think that there are fans who really want to lose this game. Who really want to lose this game.
It's Thursday night. It's prime time. The nation's eyes are probably on you if they're watching that. I don't know how many people are going to watch
this. Trust me, when national TV finds you, people talk about
yes,
it.
Yes, they do. But what I will say, I think the one position in the NFL that can obviously change the fortunes of your team is quarterback. The Jaguars have drafted their quarterback. Think about the Texans. I've pointed this example out before. J.J. Watt, one of the best defensive players in the league. I mean, what he's able to do as far as getting to the quarterback, putting pressure on the quarterback, pass breakups, I mean, everything. It's ridiculous.
Now, too.
He scores touchdowns now, too. How did the Texans do last year, having one of the best defensive ends?
You win with a quarterback.
In the NFL. Look at the teams that made it to the AFC and NFC playoffs. Look at the teams that ended up playing in the AFC and NFC championship games. Look at the teams that ended up playing in the Super Bowl. What did they have in common? They had elite quarterbacks. And I know some people want to say that Russell Wilson is not an elite quarterback. I do think that he is an excellent quarterback.
Super Bowl winner.
Even though Seattle's defense was really obviously what made the difference, but still, which teams are making it to the playoffs every year? The Patriots with Tom Brady. Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers. Denver with Peyton Manning. I mean, you look at these teams and they all have in common...
The Jaguars with Blake Bortles.
Hey! And I think that might happen one day. I really do, because I think that the Jaguars have found their quarterback, which to me is why it does not matter if you're drafting at number 2 or number 3 or number 4. You have already drafted the guy that you think is going to change the fortunes of your franchise.
Look at Washington and St. Louis, that game that they had a few weeks back where they sent out all the players that St. Louis had traded in order to get, or that Washington had traded in order to get
yeah, RG3.
Six guys, and RG3 is going to be on his way out.
Chuck Fisher would do that.
He would.
He would do that. But you know what? Now that he's coaching St. Louis, I don't have nearly as big of a problem with it as if it would have been the Titans.
I think Blythe would still hit him with her car if she had the opportunity.
Wait, maybe. Just ding
him.
Just ding him.
I think that...
Caddy Mike in the house. What's up, Caddy Mike?
Good. Blake is certainly the pivotal one. I don't know if I'm 1,000% convinced that he will turn into the elite quarterbacks in the country, but the fact that it's a possibility still, and he's gotten to play so much and we've been able to see it, is what makes me happy. I would have been furious if we had not gotten to see him play this season. Whether or not it's you know, good for him or not, I just personally as a fan would have been furious if I hadn't gotten to see him play.
And that's interesting that you say that, because I heard an interesting debate the other day that, you know, the Peyton Mannings, the Aaron Rodgers, and the Tom Brady's, where's the next crop of great quarterbacks? Who are they? I don't know. Besides Andrew Luck, I don't know anybody else.
I think Philip Rivers personally falls into that.
But he's a veteran. He's not really that young.
He's getting up there too.
Yeah. He's like our age, by the way.
And the next crop of quarterbacks, it really is. Those guys are a diamond in the rough. And yeah. I think maybe for a lot of teams, the more realistic approach is getting a Joe Flacco.
You're talking about the younger guys. Who's going to be that elite class 10 years down the road?
Because Brady and Manning, they've been in the league for so many years. I don't know that any of the mid-tier. I mean, there's some young guys out there, and Andrew Luck is really the only one that comes to mind, Aaron Rodgers. But those mid-tier guys that have been in the league for a little while, maybe a Carson Palmer or
like a Matt Ryan or something like that.
And Joe Flacco. But that's sort of the debate that a lot of these teams are taking now, is to, do you get a Joe Flacco, do you get a Matt Ryan, and then you build the team around him and just hope that he can manage the game like a Russell Wilson.
I don't know. I think the Jags got their guy, and I'm still very optimistic about what's going to happen. Think about this. What if the Texans had taken Bortles, and what if the Jags had taken Jadeveon Clowney? How different, in a negative way,
I think. Is it possible that we'd be winless?
I am so... I don't care how much Bortles has struggled this season. I don't care how much this offense is trying to figure it out with all these young guys. I'm okay with that. I would not trade Bortles for any other quarterback, any other rookie quarterback.
Not even Teddy Bridgewater.
I would not trade him for Jadeveon Clowney. I wouldn't trade him for Sammy Watkins. I don't think I would trade him for any other, you know, top
rookie
that was taken.
See, I'm a Louisville fan, so I like Teddy Bridgewater, but I don't like him more than Bortles. Family. They're all from Louisville, Kentucky.
That's right. All right. I support it. Just curious. Yeah. I think the best part for Blake is the fact that he has an entire offseason to watch his mistakes. That's why I'm glad they played him. He gets to go back through and say, let me analyze my footwork actually on film versus a J.J. Watt in comparison with, let me watch my film at training camp. Because that's all I have on film.
And I think a lot of the things that Bortles needs to improve on, he can only improve on in the offseason. His time each week is committed to watching film and getting ready for the next game. He doesn't necessarily have that time to work on his footwork, to work on his mechanics. It's going to take a few offseasons, probably, but at least one.
As Aaron Colvin was telling us, to digest the playbook takes so much time that your time really to do everything else is so much more limited. So when you're having that thrown at you, and he even admitted, you know, in the preseason, he called stuff just off the cuff because he didn't remember the play call that was given
him. That was a
great
interview.
I love that. He's getting it in his helmet, and he doesn't realize he can talk back.
That was my favorite part.
Like, wait, what was that? Wait, what's going on? I have to call a play now? Oh, gosh. We'll just call that one. I remember that one. But so he's already dealing with all of that stress that then you add to it, yes, everyone's better in the NFL. Then you add to it the footwork and the mechanics. You can't have all of that in there at once. That's way too much.
Yeah, it is. It's a lot. It's a lot. All right, when we return, let's talk a little bit more about Blake Bortles and just all this youth on offense and kind of what our hopes are for them as they continue to develop. And then some really cool news today, Roy Miller getting a long-term deal done with the Jaguars. That's an awesome story. We're going to share our thoughts on that. It's all coming up next on Helmets and Heels, brought to you by Underwood Jewelers.
Helmets and Heels on 1010 XL, 92.5 FM.
Welcome back to Helmets and Heels, live at Zeta Brewing Company, sponsored by both Underwood's Jewelers and our special sponsor tonight, Kitchen and Flooring Concepts. If you have not met Keith and Eric, who are here from Kitchen and Flooring Concepts, please come over and meet them. They are so much fun. They have the greatest tailgating gadget in the whole wide world, which is a brick pizza oven that you attach to a griddle.
That is
so you can actually tailgate with pizza. homemade pizza with, and
gosh,
every week
I
they
love
have,
that.
Oh my gosh, they have the greatest food. They take care of me while I roam the parking lot like a vagabond, and I cannot say thank you enough to them. I just, they've been my friends when I've had absolutely no other friends. And I promise I have friends. I do. I promise.
You know, everyone. You met more people down at the stadium after being there for like 2 days than I have going down there 4 times a week for the past 5 years. It's amazing. Yeah,
I do a lot of chit chatting.
You know what? We're down to two helmets and heels.
But you know
right
who we
now.
Have?
We do have.
We have little Blake Bortles.
Little Blake Bortles to keep us company. I know. Let's give DeMarf, let's send her some well wishes because she is at home. She is feeling under the weather. Blythe Brumley will return in just a few minutes, but she is, I believe, changing into her Gandalf costume for the premiere of The Hobbit tonight.
Yes, so if you follow Blythe on Twitter, you have seen about 1,000 tweets.
That is something to look forward to.
About The Hobbit movie. I personally will probably never see it in theater. I may never see it in general, but I'm excited for Blythe because she's that excited.
I can't wait to see what this costume looks like. Okay, while we're waiting for her to get here, I was just having this conversation during the break with a couple of these guys over here, talking about Blake Bortles and the youth of this offense. This is the example that I was thinking about earlier today, and tell me your thoughts on it.
Okay.
I was thinking about Julio Jones and what a stud he's been since coming into the league, and I looked up his stats as a rookie because obviously he did really well his rookie season. 8 touchdowns, which I believe ranked first in the NFL for rookies as far as number of touchdowns. He was second, I think, in receiving yards. Just, you know, some pretty incredible stats for a rookie. And I started thinking about it. If Julio Jones played in this offense as a rookie, would he have put up some of those same numbers? You look at what he had in Atlanta. He had Matt Ryan throwing to him. He had playmakers around him like Roddy White and a Tony Gonzalez. He was a rookie, but he was surrounded by
studs,
by playmakers, by veterans who had experience. So you think about a guy like that, and then you think about an Allen Robinson or a Marquise Lee or an Allen Hurns and how those guys would do if you inserted them into an offense that had some experience. So, you know, I know fans are frustrated. I know people are tired of hearing this offense is young. You're starting 8 or 9 rookies. They're going to grow together. I know people are tired of hearing that. It's no fun to have your team sitting at 2-12. But I really, really do believe that it is going to benefit this offense in the long run, that so many young guys are growing together.
Yes, they are growing together, and yes, we as fans can only be optimistic at this point about the youth and potential turning into success. Because if you don't believe that they've got the right guys, and if you don't believe that they have the right process in place in building through the draft, then you are looking at a franchise that is going to be terrible forever. So I certainly don't want to believe in that, because I've gotten to know the general manager and the head coach and some of the players, and they all believe in the same thing, and that is that they are going to be good. And you, just this week, Ravens wide receiver Steve Smith said he believes if you pay attention to the Jaguars, they are going to be good really soon. So to me, that Ravens game was all about that. Rookies making some mistakes, veterans making some mistakes, but there is something there. How much time is it going to take, and what are they going to do in the offseason in order to make it better? Why can't the Jags get a veteran receiver to add to this group? I'm going to leave, you know, the current veteran receivers out of the mix for now. But why can't they go get someone? To me, the one thing that our receivers might be missing is someone like a Kelvin Benjamin stature. Julio Jones is a big receiver. Marquise Lee is not a big receiver. Allen Robinson, fairly big. Not huge, though. So why can't we mix some size with some speed in the offseason?
Look, and they have got so much money to spend during the offseason. I think they're one of the lowest teams under the salary cap in the NFL. They're going to have plenty of money to spend. I think that Dave Caldwell is hopefully going to be able to stockpile some draft picks, whether that's trading down. You know, there are things that they are going to be able to do to make upgrades at certain positions. Yeah, they've got some tough decisions to make with free agents like Tyson Alualu and Cecil Shorts. to name a few. But yeah, oh my gosh. Hold on one second. Breaking news, what? Ladies and gentlemen. I was so distracted I couldn't even get that out. I think Gandalf is in the house.
Everyone should see the smile on Blonde.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, how awesome is this?
Yes, first she has to add her hat on top of her giant robe, which looks really warm and nice.
Jump back on, Blythe, because we want to get all of the details about this outfit, and then we will continue some Jaguars talk. But right now I feel like this is priority number one. Do we have Blythe turned up? Are we good to go? Here, Blythe, throw this one on. See if that works.
Yeah, that one works. No, it's not your fault.
So, yeah, I tried to get out of this last week, during last week's show, but you guys called me out on it.
Yeah, we did.
So I definitely had to go through with it. I do, for those that don't know me, I'm a little bit of a nerd. So I go to a lot of these different events around town, most notably GAM, which is a games, art, and music. And a lot of people go and they dress up in different costumes. And it's always a lot of fun to do it. But when you're the only one in the place doing it, it's a little awkward. So that's the reason why I wanted to bail out of it.
Is that thing called a staff?
Yeah.
And it lights up.
Yeah, it lights up. It's a replica.
I was about to say I have not seen The Hobbit, but I have seen Lord of the Rings. And I remember Gandalf's staff looking very similar to that.
Yeah, this is his staff from The Hobbit. He has a different staff, though, in Lord of the Rings because he's Gandalf the White.
Oh,
so,
yes.
There's two different versions. There's Gandalf the Grey, and then there's Gandalf the White.
I'm sorry, I was confused.
And I don't know that I want to keep talking about this because...
Hold on, I have one more question. Do you plan on traveling to New Zealand one day to walk the Lord of the Rings trail?
Oh, my God, absolutely.
Can I go with you?
Yes.
Okay.
You know that after the first little sidestep here, but after the Lord of the Rings was filmed, they tore down...
This is amazing, people. It really is. We're going to tweet out a picture. I mean, that's just... This is amazing.
They tore down all of the movie sets, and that was a big mistake. It's because all of these fans kept flying into town hoping to see where the movie franchise was filmed. But now that they went back and filmed the three for The Hobbit, now that they've kept a lot of those, I guess, the film setups intact, and so people can go there, and you can go visit the Shire, and you can see the different battles. And so, yeah, I will definitely be
that
there.
That does sound pretty awesome. Okay, I want to ask you the same scenario that I asked Lauren, and get your opinion on it, and then we're going to switch things up and talk Rory Miller for a few minutes and his contract extension. But thinking about all the youth on this offense got me thinking earlier today about a guy like Julio Jones. And, you know, he had a great rookie season playing in Atlanta. But he had Matt Ryan throwing to him and other playmakers around him like Roddy White and Tony Gonzalez.
Good running back, too, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about Julio Jones in this offense, do you think his numbers would have been remotely similar whatsoever?
It's tough to say. I just think in general with the Jaguars, the quarterback needs more time to run or needs more time to throw. And then we also need to establish the running game as well. With our wide receivers, I think a lot of the issues have been is the timing. And they haven't had a full – this will be their first full season to work together. So I think that Julio Jones might have struggled about the same as, say, Cecil Shorts has struggled this year. But I don't know, especially with a guy like a Justin Blackmon who can go out there and just snatch the ball away from people. I think we have a lot of wide receivers that wait for the ball to be thrown and hit him in the numbers in order for it to catch. And then sometimes they don't even make that catch.
Right.
But I think that we need more of a guy that just goes out there and snatches it, and that's my ball, I'm taking it.
Yeah.
Well, I think what it would have been fantastic is to see either a veteran quarterback with the rookie receivers or a rookie quarterback with veteran receivers.
Right.
So that way somebody had that experience of playing game after game in this league. And, you know, fortunately or unfortunately, we're in a situation where it's rookie with a lot of rookies.
Well, and that's my point, is that because of that, all that youth, there are going to be struggles. And, again, I know people are frustrated with being told to be patient, but that's the situation that the Jaguars are currently in on offense.
It's a waiting game. That's all they can do. Just have to be patient. I know fans have been told that for years, but this time you really have to be patient.
We had someone call in today, and he said, I can't believe that people are frustrated. We all said to play Blake Bortles. We all said that we were going to be patient this year. So what
why
on
now
earth
are we,
why are
yeah.
we complaining?
Yeah. No, I...
Because fans
it's
complain.
Great point.
That's what they
it's
do.
Great point. All right, let's switch it up real quick while we've got a few minutes left
with Gandalf.
Gandalf
the Grey.
Gandalf the Grey, not Gandalf the White. Gandalf the Grey.
You guys are learning. I'm so proud.
Roy Miller today, signing a long-term contract with the Jaguars. What did you think about that? I thought it was awesome.
Really happy for him.
For sure. And now that him and Sendarek Marks, those two guys are locked up for a long time, I think that we just find an elite pass rusher and that this defense will be solid for a very long time.
Well, and Gene Fournette tweeted that Roy is one of the, he said in his however many years he's been covering the Jags, obviously 20 years, but in all of his time covering professional sports, Roy Miller is one of the most professional and classy guys every single time he has to talk to him. What are your thoughts on him? Same thing?
Well, I thought it was really cool because, and I mentioned this earlier today on the Frangie Show when we were talking about it, you've seen a lot of guys on this team play through pain. I mean, a guy like Tyson Alualu who played through a lot of knee injuries himself and things like that. And Roy Miller's one of them, and he's never complained. A lot of his teammates didn't even know he was hurt last year. He kept trying to get out there and play through multiple injuries. It wasn't just
his
knee.
I am not that way, just for the record. Everyone knows when I'm injured.
So says the girl that still has what looks like a homemade cast.
It's actually not homemade.
Around her finger.
It's from JOI. It's legit.
You've been a little rough on that thing then.
I've had it a week, okay?
But, no, anyway. And to see kind of the turnaround that he had from last season to where he is this season and, the way that he's been able to come in and perform, I think it's awesome, and I think it's such a testament to the dedication that this coaching staff has to players that are dedicated to what they're doing. So I think it's awesome, and I do. I feel good about what they've got in the middle of the defensive line. You know, still some question marks about getting that elite pass-rushing defensive end that can really, really get to the quarterback. We've seen guys make plays. I mean, Chris Clemens has made plays. Ryan Davis has made plays. Andre Branch was playing well until he suffered the groin injury. So, but there's still not that guy that you know is going to get double-digit sacks every year, like a J.J. Watt or something like that. But, what they've got in the middle of that line, you feel good about it. So I think it's awesome to see what the Jags did today with that.
Coming into the season with Chris Clemens, he had 3 years before last year of double-digit sacks. So I think the Jags were certainly looking to get that kind of
production,
high number
right.
production out of him.
Right. We want to let Blythe get to her movie in time because everyone needs to see you walk in like that. So Blythe is going to take off. Lauren and I are going to wrap things up. Let's get into our thoughts on this matchup Thursday night, the Jaguars taking on the Tennessee Titans. We're still going to be hanging out for a little bit, too. If you would like to, come by Zeta Brewing Company. It is in Jacks Beach. It's on the corner of 1st Avenue and 2nd Street. You can't miss us. We are right by the outside windows. It is a beautiful, beautiful night out here. Make sure that you get your tank top brought to you by Kitchen and Flooring Concepts. They're going to get you taken care of. And, again, a big thank you to Underwood Jewelers for sponsoring our show week in and week out. When we do return, Jags versus Titans, next on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
You're listening to Helmets and Heels on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Welcome back to Helmets and Heels, live at Zeta Brewing Company, brought to you by Underwood Jewelers and Kitchen and Flooring Concepts. Again, cannot thank these guys enough for not just everything they did for me in feeding me all season, but in providing the tank tops here tonight. Keith's wife, Betsy, did such a good job designing them, and I can't wait to rock mine at my workout tomorrow. No, not tomorrow morning. Thursday morning. I get a day off.
Let's see.
Oh, Chad just gave me the face of, like, how on earth could you take a day off of working out? You weak individual.
A run club is canceled tomorrow. They've got a holiday party, but I will wear it to... No, not Thursday night. I'll wear it next
week.
I don't know. Whatever the next day, I can go to run club. How about that? That's a sweet tank top.
I know. I used to always wear tank tops like that, so the first thing I wanted was a tank top when we talked about it.
By the way, this is a pretty big deal. I was just entrusted with the possession of little Blake Bortles. So he gets to spend the night tonight at Casa de Blaylock. And I will...
Are you sure Lemon's not going
to... I was just about to say, I will not let Lemon get remotely close, because even though she is 5 pounds, she will be threatened by this.
Did we already tweet out a picture of little Blake Bortles with us?
We have not.
We have not yet, okay.
We will, though. Oh, my God, that's hilarious. All right. Well, Blythe, you have fun at The Hobbit. That is an awesome outfit, and
now
all
you never
the power
have to buy
to
another
you.
Halloween outfit either.
Oh, we're gonna wait. We've got to fit in a picture with little Blake Bortles and Gandalf the Grey before she heads to the movie theater.
By the way,
so.
If I wore that to the movies, I would fall asleep in the movie theater.
I know,
because
that
it's
is
a
awesome.
Giant furry fleece robe.
All right. Put on the pause button for 1 second.
No, we can keep talking and take pictures. We're that talented.
Oh, okay. All right. Never mind. Take the pause
button. We don't
ever
have to stop talking.
All right.
The way I've lived my entire life, Jessica.
That is true. Okay. Jaguars, Thursday night game in primetime, taking on the Titans. Immediate thoughts.
Immediate thoughts are that we have been pulling everything out of the playbook that we've wanted to, and as Blythe runs away. She, by the way, would pick the Jags over the Titans. We're just gonna
obviously. Yeah, we're throwing that out there.
Take that. But I absolutely loved the trick plays that we ran against the Ravens, and I want to see more of that.
Yeah,
Thursday night.
It was nice to see them open up the playbook and try.
Special teams playbook.
Yeah, try some things different to give this team a spark. I mean, whether it was the fake punt, whether it was the onside kick when you were least expecting it. I think just my biggest concern is, can you finally put together some drives that end in touchdowns?
Well, we like to score at home, so we've got that going for us. And then here's the other thing. You know who believes in us? Vegas. We are, for the first time in 46 games, we are the favorites to win a football game.
Can we get some round of applause? Jaguars are favored in this game.
3-point favorites.
Hey, I favor them every week. I never pick against the Jaguars. Let me just say that. I have this team going 16-0 every year. And one of these seasons, it's going to happen.
That is true.
I will be the one.
And even if we don't win 16 games, we will absolutely make it to the playoffs. I'm convinced. You know what? Maybe Aaron Colvin wants to score the touchdown this week.
I'd be fine with
another forced fumble.
I don't care how they score touchdowns.
Maybe an interception.
I don't care if they're defensive touchdowns. I don't care if they're offensive touchdowns.
We do like to score defensive touchdowns, which has certainly helped. But, all right, so in addition to opening up the special teams, crazy plays that I just love. I love that stuff. I think we're going to see an explosive game out of Toby Gerhart. You know why? Because I've been predicting it every week since we knew that he came to town. So this has to be the week, right?
How much do you feel like he has been carrying the football with a sense of urgency?
I thought he had a pretty good game. What, only 54 yards against the Ravens? But every time he touched the ball, I was happy about it. Did you hear one of his quotes, which I found interesting? He said, yeah, you know, I got to touch the ball sometimes, but sometimes I wasn't in there. I thought that spoke volumes as to, hey, I want the ball every single down.
Well, and especially
I don't share.
Considering, you know, Denard obviously goes out. They placed him officially on IR today. They rode the hot hand with Denard for a while, and then obviously everything that happened took a couple steps back, suffered the injury, which we found out was actually a tear as well. And so you think that Toby's going to get a vast majority of the carries, and then you see he kind of splits time somewhat with Storm Johnson. But, again, I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing if you really do think that Storm Johnson can help this team. He hasn't gotten a lot of playing time this year because he's been inactive on game day. So you finally get an opportunity to run the ball by committee and see what you've got in Storm Johnson. Look, I don't think that this team has at all given up on Toby Gerhart. I don't think that there's any question that he is still going to be your featured back heading into next season. I don't think there's any question that, yes, there's still going to be competition, especially if Storm can play well these final few games. You saw what Denard did. But I still think that the game plan is for Toby Gerhart to be your featured back. And it's tough to evaluate what he's done this season because of the injuries, because Denard had the hot hand. I mean, you just really haven't seen a full year, I think, of what Toby Gerhart is even capable of.
All right, I'm going to change it up on you. Would you take Amari Cooper or Todd Gurley?
Well, I would take Amari Cooper first. I would take him way ahead of Todd Gurley because I think Amari Cooper is a stud. Now, I think that Todd Gurley, I think it hurts that he's coming off of, obviously, a terrible injury. And I think it's actually a shame that his season was cut short because I think Todd Gurley...
But you can come back from it.
Well, yeah, there's no question. I mean, we've seen a lot of athletes come back from an ACL tear.
One of those.
Aaron Coleman
pizza
in the house.
Over there.
But...
That's how you rehab.
I do think that Todd Gurley is going to be a really good NFL running back. But I think that Amari Cooper is a stud.
You know, I weighed in on my vote on the show last week with Amari Cooper. But the more I've thought about it, the more I think that if Justin Blackmon does come back and it's projected to look like he might, then I think this team is set for receivers. And
if Justin Blackmon comes back, which I still think is a big if.
It is, but with the as much information as I can possibly glean from the people who would know,
no, it seems to be doing well.
Seems like he might be back.
Well.
So I don't need any more receivers. I'm good. I want a ground and pound running back that can be an addition to Toby Gerhart, Denard Robinson, or Storm Johnson. Whatever I decide.
You're basing this on a hypothetical situation that the Jaguars get Justin Blackmon back, correct?
Correct.
So if they don't get Justin Blackmon back, would you still take Todd Gurley over Amari Cooper?
Yes, because I think there are more available options at receiver than there are at running back.
Okay.
As far as who can really be a game changer for the Jags.
All right.
And the Jags haven't had that type of running back in so long. Some could argue they haven't had the type of receiver in so long either, but to me there's one waiting in the wings.
Yeah, I guess if you think about the type of compliment Amari Cooper could be to this receiving core, and you think about how many question marks there are with Gurley, and the fact that, I don't know, I still think that Toby Gerhart can be a good running back for this team. I guess maybe I just haven't given up on Gerhart either. I don't know. There's still time to think about the draft. I think they've got even more pressing needs though than wide receiver. I mean, you've got to address some positions as far as linebacker. Not to say that I think they're going to go linebacker in the first round of the NFL draft, but you got to get linebacker taken care of. You've got to get your offensive line short away.
But I don't think they draft offensive line.
No, I don't think so either. I think they go after
a free agency.
I totally agree. But I think are you going to take a defensive end if you can? Would you take a defensive end over Amari Cooper?
Yes.
If you think
if I believe that's going to be my 15 sack defensive end, absolutely.
Yeah, I think so too. I don't know. I have not really thought much about this upcoming draft. I have to be honest. I know a lot of people have, but I really, really have not. Really have not thought
There's
much
something
about
to
this
be
draft.
Said for being busy during football season.
Yeah.
And not wanting to think about it either.
Yeah, that is true. Okay, well, getting back to Thursday night, give me a score prediction.
My score prediction, Jaguars 21, Titans 17.
Ooh, so you think it's a close one. And you think some touchdowns are going to be scored.
Vegas has 3 points. I'm going 4.
Okay. I will say 2 touchdowns and 3 field goals. So what is that, 14 plus?
That would be 20, right? No, that would be 23.
Yeah. So I say 23-10.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm going 23-10. Because I believe in victory. I believe that we will win.
I believe in victory, and I do believe our defense is going to play phenomenally well.
Yeah, our defense really has been playing well. And I'm sorry, but Jake Locker, my goodness.
There's so many franchises that I feel like are so much worse off than us that make me happy. The Bears, the Bucks,
and the Bears, Titans. The Bears is surprising, especially considering... I love that I'm trying to put my code into your phone. The Bears are surprising, especially because they have so many playmakers on offense. I mean, I really thought that they would be a really, really good team this season. But we'll see.
The fact their defense has fallen off and they're supposed to be a star team defensively is the scary part for them. But
yeah, I think, you know what, I'm sticking with my 23-10 prediction. I'm sticking with the Jaguars' victory. I think it's going to happen. All right, we are still out at Zeta Brewing Company out in Jacks Beach. We're going to be hanging out for a little bit longer. If you want to come and join us, want to give a big shout-out to Kitchen Flooring
Concepts
and all they've done for us. And we want to give a big shout-out to Underwood Jewelers for sponsoring our show. Big shout-out to Aaron Colvin for coming out and joining us after a long, hard day.
And for Gandalf gracing us with his presence.
My goodness. All right, we're going to wrap things up coming up next. But come and join us out at Zeta Brewing Company. This is Helmets and Heels on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Jaguars football. 5 women, 4 women. And men, Helmets and Heels on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Welcome back. We are going to put the final touches on Helmets and Heels, brought to you by Underwood Jewelers. Apparently, I was a little bit off. I don't know what I'm thinking. Maybe it's because I'm working on 20 different things this week. Jake Locker will not be starting for the Tennessee Titans. It will be
Charlie Whitehurst.
Locker actually placed on IR yesterday, so... Don't listen to my crazy talk.
Dislocated fingers will put you on IR.
Yes.
It's true.
They will. They didn't put you on IR for Helmets and Heels, though.
You were a trooper.
You've been a trooper this whole time.
I thought about saying in August, I have an injured finger. I can no longer do this show. But I didn't know how that would go over.
But we'll keep paying you. Don't worry. We'll keep paying you. We'll just put you on IR. It's cool. All right. Let's check in with Fat Tony. Tony, I'm picking Jags. 23-10. Lauren says 21-17. What do you think about Thursday night's matchup?
Well, first of all, hello, ladies. And
hello.
I am completely shocked that Jessica has the Jaguars winning on Thursday night.
I know.
I thought maybe the one week where everyone thinks they're going to win, Jessica would be like, you know, I got a bad feeling about what's going to happen on Thursday. No, I think the Jags will win on Thursday against Tennessee. Tennessee... to me, is a lot like Houston at the end of the season last year, where you could feel that that Texans team had kind of given up on what was going on. And this Jaguars team has had no quit in them at any point this season. I don't think you're going to see any of that on Thursday night either. I think they do win, and probably by 10 to 13 points when everything is said and done.
You know what's funny? I obviously pick the Jags every week to win. Hasn't worked out well for the team or for me. Mm-hmm.
Just
so
12
far.
Times. You've only been wrong 12
so
times.
So I've been given the suggestion that maybe I should start picking against the Jaguars and it will have the opposite effect and they'll start winning, but I can't do it. Tony, I cannot pick against this team.
Well, it's okay.
I try and form the word Titans, and it doesn't come out.
No,
sorry.
It's okay. You can keep picking the Jags. I don't know what kind of effect it has on this team in the end, Jessica.
I hold power over all time and space, so obviously it's me picking them every week that is changing their fortunes.
Putting the whammy on them, yeah.
Dressed up as Gandalf.
By the way, the Gandalf costume, I am glad that she had the staff, because otherwise, you know, if you're a girl who's wandering around in a gray robe and a pointy hat, that's just weird. But with the staff...
Yeah, but when you've got the staff, it's totally normal.
It's totally cool.
It lights up.
No, without like, it,
if you
honestly...
you can't find your way to your car in the fog, you've got your lit-up staff.
I know, and honestly, you couldn't even tell that it was Gandalf without the staff. I saw the pictures of the costume. That's pretty awesome. I hope she has a good time out there at the theater.
It was phenomenal. All right, what do you have coming up on the show tonight?
I got a lot of Jaguars talk, believe it or not. It's been a big day, obviously, with Roy Miller getting that 4-year contract extension. Going to compare that a little bit to Sin Derek Marks, who got his contract at the same time last year, and talk about the youth on offense for this team and some of the problems they're running into right now, maybe some of the ways that they can get them fixed, and take a look at these last two games and what is best for this team in the long run, to start winning these two games or lose and help draft position. I know it's already a debate because they are getting ready for this game on Thursday night. I'll throw my 2 cents in on the side that I believe in that.
Tony, can you even hear the names in Derek's marks and not think of Clash of Clans?
Oh, or Sean Darius, some of his substitute teachers called him.
Next time I see him, I'm going to have to recruit him to my clan. Or see if I can be a part of his, because I do play the game. I know y'all have been ignoring it this whole time, but yeah, it's fun. I don't know what's wrong with y'all. Why you can't play a game on your phone that takes literally 5 minutes of your day to play Clash of Clans?
You know what? I think Clash of Clans is awesome. I got a tutorial from Sundarek in the Jaguars locker room. It was incredible. I always love listening to your show, Tony, but I am intrigued to hear about your draft talk tonight, because I was telling Lauren earlier when she was asking me Amari Cooper versus Todd Gurley.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly, even though some people are already on, you know, the draft train, I really have not thought a lot at all about this draft. I mean, I haven't looked at projections. I haven't really seen any big boards or whatever. I mean, I really don't know at this point which direction I would even think about going in. So I'm curious to hear what you've got to say about that.
Well, and honestly, I'm glad to hear it, Jess, because that means that a lot of people here in town feel good about the quarterback that they have. That's when you start looking at the draft, it's because you're looking to see if you're going to be in position to get a quarterback generally, unless you're a complete nerd like me and some of the other guys here on the station who we love looking at and trying to dig into the draft.
Right.
It's this big puzzle that's impossible to put together, but you start trying anyway, and you hope that your opinion on the whole thing is going to be right in the end. I think it's a good thing that there are Jaguars fans who, until this week maybe, hadn't even considered what's going to be going on with the Jaguars in the draft.
Yeah,
it's funny,
absolutely.
I know where you can find some nerds.
yeah, we definitely know. All right, well, have a good show, Tony.
All right, appreciate it.
Enjoy
with
Fat
that,
Tuesdays, everybody.
Yeah, you're right. That's the ladies of Helmets and Heels. With that, let's get Fat Tuesdays going.